Well, hello again, and thank you for joining me today on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm Kelly, your podcast host, and again, thank you for joining me for these opportunities of fellowship to share in God's Word and also to share some daily examples of practical application of Christian living with great stories. And I promise you every Wednesday there will be new episodes uploaded on for the podcast. The episodes could be something similar to what we're listening to now. For instance, this is part two that we're going to be listening to today in our episode on honoring motherhood. But it could be Bible studies, devotional story sets, and prayer sets to go along with that, scripture memorizations, and other examples of life in a daily practical way that we're able to live the Word of God and to provide the Christ-like service examples of daily living in sharing our lives with others, in supporting them in their walk as we support ourselves in the walk we have with Christ now. So thank you again for joining me for this part two of the Honoring Motherhood podcast episode. Last episode gave us some great examples of the strength of motherhood, and I hope to have more of that to share with you today in the second part of this podcast. We'll also be looking a little bit at what to expect in the next episode. This one will be about honoring Father, Father God, and the fathers in our lives. But we'll get a tidbit of that a little bit later on. Let's just get right to it this episode, part two of Honoring Motherhood on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thanks again for joining me today. Purple flowers. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. 4-year-old Jacob frequently stops to admire plants. He's fascinated by them, Nancy, his mom explains. I think he gets it from his grandmother. She owned a nursery when I was a young girl. Normally, Jacob's mom has to pull him away from the plants. She always considered it more of a distraction until one sunny Wednesday a few weeks ago. Jacob bent down on the sidewalk to study a cluster of purple flowers that had managed to grow in the cracks of the sidewalk. Nancy was about to urge her son to keep moving when 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 came to her mind. I thought about what Paul said. He talked of not only sharing the gospel of God with others, but also our very lives. When Nancy thought of this, she smiled, "I can't think of anything more important than sharing life with a little one." So she got down on the ground and spent time admiring the flower with her son, cherishing the ordinary moment. God, help me to share my faith and my life with my children. I want them to see you in everything, even flowers in the sidewalk. In Jesus' name, amen. She speaks with wisdom. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Proverbs 31, verse 26. Shannon smiled when her dad handed her toddler a brightly wrapped gift. "What did Pop bring you?" she asked her daughter as together they removed the wrapping paper. Inside a pink box was a toddler phone. Her daughter squealed when she saw it and immediately began playing with it. She pushed the buttons, hummed along to the music, and played with the blinking lights. Shannon moved to pour her dad a cup of coffee as the two of them discussed the past week. As they were sharing with each other, they stopped when they heard Shannon's daughter babbling. The little girl was babbling into the phone using many of the same expressions Shannon uses. She laughed when she heard her toddler's voice. Shannon's dad smiled. "She sounds just like her mama, doesn't she?" For Shannon, the moment surprised her. "I didn't realize how much of my speech she was picking up. She was just tossing around funny phrases I've said. but it made me stop and think. She's absorbing everything, so it made me commit to speaking with wisdom, whether my conversations are on the phone, on Skype, or happening in real life. God, please help me to speak with wisdom. I want to be a good example to other believers and little ones. Guard my mouth that my words would be loving and kind. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessing of a praying mama. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Tessa didn't know much about her mother-in-law, Deanna. By the time Tessa met her husband, the older woman was suffering from severe dementia. Deanna didn't recognize her son or other family members. Still, Tessa felt a bond with the woman that she couldn't shake. When Deanna was too fragile to live on her own, Tessa welcomed her into the home she shared with her husband. She paid the woman's bills, drove her to her doctor's appointments, and tenderly cared for her. When Deanna passed away after several years of loving with her son and daughter-in-law, Tessa cried. She grieved as if it had been her own mother she'd lost. As Tessa was helping her husband go through his mother's things, she discovered a box of journals. They were Deanna's prayer journals, where she'd recorded decades of prayers, hopes, and dreams. She found entry after entry where Deanna prayed for her son's future wife. She prayed for her health, her career, her relationships, and her spiritual walk. Again and again, the older woman had been faithful to pray over Tessa's life, thanking God for a woman she hadn't even met. God, thank you for the gift of praying mothers. Show me how to be a prayer warrior for those around me. And I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Love in action. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. From 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Linda had a gift for cooking. She loved to create new meals and was constantly looking for recipes. All of her friends and family praised her culinary skills, with some suggesting she should become a chef. When Linda and her husband moved to Vermont for his job, she wanted to find a way to reach out to others in her community. A few days later, she visited a local church that had a list of those in need. So, Linda went home and made a big batch of her favorite southern dishes. Since her kids were little, she took them along as she made her deliveries. She prepared meals for a family whose daughter was fighting cancer. She made rich desserts and brought them to the widow who needed someone to share a cup of coffee with. She created kid-friendly casseroles for the single parent who was struggling to make ends meet. After a few weeks, she noticed her kids would create small arts and crafts to give to the recipients. Her 5-year-old son colored bright pictures for lonely seniors. Her daughter made puppets for sick kids. The two also strung beads together to make necklaces and bracelets they could give away. Although she hadn't said anything, Linda had showed her kids how to love others in their community. She had set a beautiful example of love in action. God, let my love for others spur me to take action. When I see someone hurting or weary, show me how to encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen. Rest for the weary. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. From Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When Amy learned she was pregnant with her first child, she was overjoyed. Although she hadn't been trying to get pregnant, she always knew she wanted to be a mother, even if the timing was earlier than she'd planned. Amy's pregnancy was uneventful, and she took her baby daughter home. Everything was going well until Amy's mother noted something strange when the baby was a month old. She said her grandchild's eyes appeared yellow in the light. Listening to her mother's instincts, Amy took her baby to the local children's hospital. The doctor quickly diagnosed Amy's daughter with liver failure. She would need a transplant, and soon. Fortunately, Amy's mom was in good health. Since she was a match for the baby's blood type, the doctor had decided to take a portion of healthy liver and give it to the baby. The night before the surgery, Amy couldn't sleep. Her baby seemed restless, so Amy paced the tiny neonatal unit. She went up and down the halls. Finally, about 3 a.m., a wave of peace came over Amy. The baby quieted, and the two fell asleep. When Amy woke the next morning, she saw a text message on her phone. At 3 in the morning, her friend had been woken up to pray. She contacted other friends, and they'd begun praying together over the phone, specifically asking for peace and rest. After the surgery, Amy's daughter recovered, and so did her mother. The liver transplant was a success, and both are on their way to a healthy future. God, I ask for peace and rest for friends who are struggling today. Grant them the comfort of your presence and let them feel the love that's being sent their way. I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Letting go of what others think. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. From Luke chapter 1, verse 38. When an angel arrived to tell Mary she would become pregnant with Jesus, the Messiah, she was quick to surrender her plans for his. She called herself the Lord's servant and accepted what the angel had told her. What makes Mary's response so fascinating is the culture she lived in. In her time, a woman becoming pregnant out of wedlock was punishable by stoning. She was literally risking death to bear Jesus. But we never see her express fear or doubt about the pregnancy. In order to be at peace, Mary had to let go of what other people might think and focus on her identity as God's beloved daughter. It's easy to get caught up in what other people think about you. You overhear someone spreading lies about you, and your first instinct is to step up and defend yourself. You want to yell, "Hey, I'm doing what God told me to do here." But there's never a record of Mary defending herself or calling attention to her situation. She simply accepted her identity and focused on God's plan for her life. God, when you ask me to trade my plans for yours, help me to remember Mary. Let me be brave and ignore what others are saying about me. I make this simple prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A quiet season. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. From Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Barbara was in her 50s when a drunk driver hit her car. She was blessed to survive, but the bones in her left leg had been shattered. She needed extensive surgery in order to repair those bones. The doctor explained that during recovery, Barb would need to avoid putting weight or pressure on the leg. Since Barb's job required her to be active, she had to take time off from work. As Barb was healing, she thought of the Bible study on motherhood that she'd often longed to write. When she shared the idea with her husband, he encouraged her to use the next few weeks to work on it. A few months after Barb had recovered from surgery and was back at work, a woman's leader at her church called her. She explained that many of the women in the worship services looked up to Barb, and she wanted to know if Barb would be willing to teach a Bible study class geared toward new mothers. Quiet seasons of rest or recovery may feel like you're wasting time, but every season in your life serves a purpose. But God has a plan for you to fulfill during this waiting period, even if you can't see it right now. God, help me to be faithful to you in every season of my life, even when I don't understand what's happening. I know you are at work. I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we take just a brief pause here in this podcast on motherhood to give you a little tidbit of what to expect in our next podcast episode on the Romans 10:17 podcast. This next episode will be honoring Father God and the fathers of our lives. It's going to be a great series of stories and examples of living the Christian life and the responsibilities that fathers have to their children and that children have to their fathers. It's going to be a great episode, also delivered in two parts. Here's a little sample of what to expect when we listen to our episode next on honoring Father God and honoring fatherhood here on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Beloved child, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. From 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Denise grew up feeling unloved and unwanted. Her mom was a drifter who abandoned the family when Denise was in first grade. Her father, a man already prone to rage, began to drink heavily. He would scream at her each night when he came home drunk. He pelted her with words that might as well have been stones. Ugly, worthless, stupid, unwanted, useless. Though Denise tried hard to please her dad, nothing was ever good enough. When she grew up, she moved to another state. She met a man she loved and married him. They had three kids together. She and her husband attended church together. Denise even taught a Sunday school class to five-year-olds. But she couldn't shake the feeling that God was deeply disappointed in her. Lily, an older woman at church, took Denise under her wing. When Denise shared her fears that God felt let down, Lily said, "Your identity doesn't come from what your earthly dad said about you. It comes from God the Father, and He sees you as His beloved child." God, sometimes past wounds make it hard for me to believe who I am. Help me to remember that I am your beloved child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's the next episode on the Romans 10:17 podcast. This will be a two-part episode on honoring Father and Father God. It's going to be a great episode to share with you, and I look forward to being with you on this next episode here on the Romans 10:17 podcast. Now, let's get back to our current podcast on honoring motherhood right here on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Are you building your house? The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. From Proverbs 14, verse 1. When her kids were home from school, Dana felt like she spent the entire time nagging them to do their homework and chores. More than once, fights broke out, and she spent her afternoons arguing with her children. She felt like her home was in chaos and wasn't sure what to do. On the weekends, she worked as a volunteer at a hospital. The volunteer coordinator was a warm, elderly woman named Elizabeth. When she shared what was going on, Elizabeth listened sympathetically. Then she shared Proverbs 14. Someone once told me that every day a woman either builds her house or tears her house down. When you nag, it's a way of controlling the situation. It may make you feel better temporarily, but it rarely gets results. Dana nodded. So, how do I get results instead of yelling and insults? Elizabeth said, remind your kids once about what to do, share what the consequences of not obeying are, and let them make their choices. If they don't listen, then gently but firmly allow them to suffer the results. That's what God does for His children. Dana took Elizabeth's words to heart. It was hard at first because her kids challenged her resolve to see if she'd stick with the consequences she'd laid out. But after seeing her stand firm, her kids quickly began to listen to her. This decreased Dana's stress and made her afternoons with her children more relaxed and enjoyable. God, help me to build up my house. Give me wisdom when it comes to training my kids and others that are under my influence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Experiencing the comfort of God. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. From Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. When Cindy's daughter was a toddler, she had a fear of the dark after an older sibling accidentally let her see a scary movie. Cindy would put her little one to bed only to have her up a few minutes later asking her mom to check for monster. Each time she asked, Cindy would put down her crossword puzzle to come check. She would look under the bed, in the closet, and anywhere else her daughter wanted her to investigate. Again and again, Cindy was patient, remembering how fearful she'd been as a child, too. Eventually, Cindy's daughter grew into a teen. Because of the sweet relationship Cindy had nurtured, her daughter would come to her for advice and guidance on just about everything. One night, her daughter called out to her in the night. Cindy stumbled from her bed and went to comfort her child. The girl was upset over some cruel text messages she'd received. Cindy stayed up most of the night talking with her daughter and encouraging her. Just as Cindy always ran to reassure her child, God does the same thing for His children. It doesn't matter if you call on Him in the middle of the blackest night or in the deepest distress of your life. God will always come to comfort you, His precious child. God, thank you for the gift of your presence. You never leave me on my own. You come to me when I'm sad, discouraged, or in need. Thank you for all of that. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharing her faith. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. From Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Connie had tucked away her prayer journal in the back of the closet. She brought it out frequently to add updates and notes. When God answered a prayer, she noted the day He did that. When God said no to a prayer, she noted that too. Over the years, Connie's journal began to fall apart. She chose a new journal and began filling it with prayers too. But one day as she was reading in her Bible, she came across Deuteronomy chapter 4. She hadn't thought to share her prayers and God's responses with her kids. But now, it was all she could think about. A few days later, the family dog was lost. Instead of retreating into her prayer closet alone, Connie gathered her three young children into it with her. Together, they prayed for the safety of their dog. Then Connie went and began calling local animal shelters, but no one had brought the dog in. The next day, Connie took her kids into the closet and again prayed for the dog. Finally, on the sixth morning, there was a knock on the door. Connie opened it to discover a stranger holding the beloved family pet. He'd been hit by a car and needed medical attention, the elderly man explained. I brought him back the moment the vet released him. Praying with your kids can be a wonderful way for them to learn about God's loving nature. If God doesn't answer your child's prayer right away, encourage them to keep praying and waiting. God, thank you for all the prayers you answer. You never forget or ignore a request. Now, please grant my children faith. Let them come to know you in a real and life-changing way. I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All things. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. From Philippians chapter 4, Verse 13. When Danny opened his mouth to speak, he started with words that had always given him courage. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Those words were an important part of Danny's childhood. They were the words his mother had repeated when she was in a difficult labor with Danny. They were the words she'd repeated over him when doctors had said the tiny baby wouldn't live for more than a few hours. Danny had been born with a neuromuscular disease that paralyzed him. He defied the doctor's dire predictions and lived. When Danny lived, the doctor told his mom that her son would never be able to do anything. As was common in the time, the doctor suggested that the best option for Danny was a group home. Knowing her history, the doctor pointed out her other children. Go be a mother to them. Danny will only be a burden on your family. But my mother refused, Danny said, smiling. And today, I'm graduating magna cum laude from one of the best universities in the state, thanks to the grace of God and the love of my mother. You may not be able to provide your child with the fanciest foods or the best clothes, but you can offer your child the knowledge that you believe in them and that God can carry them through the toughest times. That gift is far more valuable than anything else you could give. God, help me to be a sweet encouragement to my little ones. When others see grim statistics or terrible outcomes, let me remind them that you are the God of the impossible. Nothing challenges you and nothing changes you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shine like the stars. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Leslie watched as Jonathan followed Samuel around. Born just 10 months apart, the two brothers often seemed like the best of friends. They did everything together until it was time for Samuel to start attending school. At first, Jonathan would just stare out the front door and ask where his brother was. Eventually, Leslie was able to distract him and keep him busy. She let him help with the chores, even though it sometimes meant more work for her. As time went on, Jonathan adjusted to Samuel's absence. But one day, as Leslie was doing chores with Jonathan, he started to complain. He wanted to know why he had to work while his brother got to go to school to play. Leslie thought for a moment and said, "You know, God tells us to do everything without grumbling, so we can shine like stars and show other people God's light." Jonathan stopped. "I'm shining when I clean?" Leslie smiled. "Yes, you are. Anytime you do a task with a good attitude, you're shining so people can see Jesus." God, help me to approach my chores and activities without complaining. I want your love to shine bright in my life so others see how amazing you are. In Jesus' name, I make this prayer. Amen. The Romans 10:17 podcast is sponsored in part by the publishers of the Christian audiobook, Please Just Talk With Me, Stories, Prayers, Scriptures, and Thoughts God Has Been Waiting Your Entire Life to Share With You. The topics of conversation you can have with God are truly endless. In this Christian audiobook, you'll discover that you can talk with God about healing, understanding conversation and prayer with God, forgiveness, extending grace, honoring motherhood and fatherhood, finding peace, and so much more. You can find your copy of the Christian audiobook, Please Just Talk With Me, from your favorite audiobook retailer worldwide. Just go to the retailer website and search the title, Please Just Talk With Me. A great gift for yourself or anyone you know who needs to have a conversation with God. courtesy of the publishers at Positive Life Audiobooks and the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, back to our episode that we're listening to today, and thanks again for joining me here on the Romans 10:17 podcast. Holding on to you. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. From Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. As a senior nurse in a busy hospital, Anne thought she was prepared for everything, until the day she learned her mom was in the beginning stages of dementia. Suddenly, every word, touch, and conversation with her mom was precious to her. Each was a gift that Anne held close and treasured. As time went on, Anne watched her mother slip further and further away. She tried not to cry as she watched the tiny woman who'd once been a powerhouse retreat into herself. One day, Anne was taking her mom to the grocery store. She got out of the driver's side and went around the passenger side to get her mom. The older woman refused to come out because Anne had parked close to the curb. I'll fall, she said in a timid voice. Anne looked around the full parking lot. Then Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13 popped into her head. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. It was the Bible verse that her mother had kept taped to the fridge for her entire life. Anne reached out to her mom and smiled. Don't worry, I'm holding on to you now. When circumstances look scary, remember, God is holding on to you. He will help you through your trial, and He won't let you go. God, thank you for holding on to me no matter what. Let me feel the comfort and assurance of your presence in the middle of my trial. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderfully made. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. From Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Holly struggled with an eating disorder when she was a teenager. She'd always felt uncomfortable in her skin, and when a boyfriend broke up with her because she was too chunky, she started purging after a meal. It wasn't until her senior year of college when she met a Christian counselor that Holly began to experience healing. Now, after years of work, Holly views herself as a precious daughter of God. Still, when she had kids, she didn't want them to face the same struggles, so Holly made it a point to talk with all of her kids about their bodies from the time they were young. I tried to emphasize how beautiful and unique their bodies were, Holly explains. But she didn't stop there. She wrote down encouraging Bible verses like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Psalm 139, verse 14, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Then Holly placed them throughout the house, near mirrors, and on appliances. Holly says, my prayer is that my kids are to be so filled up with the truth of who they are in Christ that they don't fall into the same lies I did. God, you made my body and formed me. I am your work of art, and that makes me beautiful. Help me to accept this truth and live it out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Redemption in progress. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? From John chapter 9, verse 2. Cheryl's son was diagnosed with autism when he was 5. After that, Cheryl spent a lot of time online looking for causes. She made appointments with the best specialists in the world, but even with all their medical knowledge, the doctors couldn't explain exactly why her son had the medical condition. A few days after another disappointing doctor's visit, Cheryl was waiting in line at the coffee shop. the woman behind her struck up a conversation, and they both discovered they had children with autism. Cheryl felt relieved to connect with someone who understood her family struggle. I keep trying to figure out why this happened. I want to know what I did. I must have done something wrong, and God has punished my son for it. The other mother smiled at Cheryl sympathetically. She shared the truth of John 9. God didn't send autism to punish you or your child, but he can use it for his glory. What was meant to hurt and destroy your family will become a beacon of light that calls others toward God. God, help me to remember that you can redeem any illness or disability. Please take the painful parts of my life and use them to draw others closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. From Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Cassie adopted Ethan when he was just a few months old. Even though it meant becoming a single parent, she felt like adoption was what God wanted her to do. But Ethan wasn't like other kids. He'd been born to a mother addicted to drugs, and he had several health problems because of it. His biggest struggle was with learning new information. So Cassie had to work hard to help Ethan understand basic information like the ABCs. One day, she spent all afternoon working with him. She was about to give up when she remembered Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The verse gave her the strength to keep working with her son. But even after their session, Ethan didn't appear to have absorbed a single letter. Discouraged, Cassie wondered if she'd ever be able to get Ethan to understand letters and words. The next morning, Cassie went to get Ethan out of his bed, but she stopped when she heard singing. She kept listening, then smiled as she realized Ethan was singing the alphabet song. God, when I encounter hard things, help me to lean in. Give me strength to keep going even when I feel disappointed or discouraged. And I ask in this simple prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Never let go. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Paula Chican was traveling with her husband and two kids in August 1987. The family of four was returning from a family reunion in Philadelphia, but they never made it home. Flight 255 crashed, killing all of the passengers but Paula's 4-year-old daughter, Cecilia. The seconds ticked down as the plane rapidly descended. With no protection to offer her, Paula gave the only thing she could, her life. She unbuckled her own seatbelt and threw herself on top of her daughter. Paula's sacrifice reminds us of what Jesus did on the cross. Unwilling to see you suffer for eternity, Jesus came to offer life. He sacrificed his life and his body so you could live free. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Wherever you are today and whatever you're going through, know that Jesus is holding on to you and he never lets go of his precious children. God, thank you for the sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for giving me life. No matter what happens, I believe you are holding me. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. What a wonderful episode. I thank you so much for joining me for this second part of our Honoring Motherhood podcast here on the Romans 10:17 podcast. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again for the next episode, Honoring Fatherhood and Father God. Another great two-part episode that will be right here on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Be blessed, be strong, and be listening for the still small voice. Take care.